You know, about 350 years ago, a group of our forefathers, they landed on the northeast coast of America. And during their first year, they established a town. And the following year, they decided they would establish a town government. They would elect some officials to kind of run the town. Well, during the third year, the town government decided they were going to put forth some plans to build a road that would go 5 miles west out into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people of the town overthrew the town government because the people thought it was a waste of time and a waste of money to build a road that would go 5 miles out into the wilderness. Their reasoning was, why would anybody want to go there anyway? You know, it's amazing to me to think that you have a group of people who had the vision to see some 3,000 miles across an unknown ocean, and they were able to overcome great hardships to get here, and then that same group of people, in just a few years, they weren't even able to see 5 miles out into the wilderness. What happened? They lost their vision. And they lost their vision because they got comfortable and they settled. You know, sometimes that same thing can happen in the church. We can get comfortable and we can settle. And that is a threat to the church, especially when things are good. See, when things are good, there's a tendency to just sit back and relax and go, look at all the good stuff that's going on. And there's a tendency also for us to sit back and to reminisce about all the good things that have happened in the past and relive the good old days. But that's just our human nature. But the thing is, we can't afford to do that. You know, here at LFCC, we have had a tremendous past, an incredible past. Just in the last few years, while I've been associated with the church, and these are kind of some of the things that I have seen. In 1994, God gave a vision to the leaders of this church to move from our downtown property to this location. And that wasn't an easy move. It might as well have been a move across a 3,000-mile ocean in some aspects. But we moved into this building, and we rattled around in here, and it seemed like we would never, ever fill up this building. I mean, how is there just possibly enough people to ever put in here to fill this building up? Well, it didn't feel that way very long, and in 1998, we moved to two services because the church had grown. And we continued to grow. We've run out of space a few different times. We've tried to do some different things. In 2013, we decided we just have to go to three services because our 11 o'clock time slot just keeps growing like crazy. And so we tried to alleviate some of the just overcrowdedness in that service. And we've outgrown our three services, especially the third service is just jam-packed. And so we kind of plateaued. And so another vision came up to build a sanctuary along with a nursery wing and an elementary wing. And this would give us the extra space that we need, but it also would give us the security that we desire for our children. Now, you guys know to build in an economy like what we have today might sound a little crazy to some people, but here's what I know, that God does his best work sometimes when things sound a little bit crazy. And so we started the process to build here. And what we have seen is that when God drives a vision, he has a tendency to carry that out and to carry that through. And you guys know what happened. We raised $1 million in just a little over 7 months. And as you can see, when you drive on the property, you can see it from the Lone Tree Road, that the walls are up and we're getting ready to put trusses on, and the building process is well underway. But listen, that building is not the end of the vision that we have for this church, because this church has a mission to carry out. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29, we read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And church, God, here's the thing, God hasn't stopped working. He hasn't stopped, and he hasn't called his church to stop working, and so we won't stop working. We have this huge vision for the church. It's a vision that only God can fulfill. And we will not be like that group of people who traveled 3,000 miles across the ocean to not be able to see 5 miles down the road. We're not going to do that. We know that God has bigger and greater things planned. And so we will not be satisfied with where we are. We will always strive to be what God has called us as a church to be. And if that's going to happen, we have to stay on mission, on his mission. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be doing a series we're calling On Mission. In this series, we're going to talk about the mission of the church, and more specifically, we're going to talk about the mission of Linton First Christian Church. And the wheel that you've seen in the bumper video is a little preview of what you're going to be seeing in where we have put our mission statement and how we're going to carry out the mission that God has given us. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about what the mission of the church should be. But if we want to know what the mission of the church should be, then I think we need to look and see what Jesus said about the church. I mean, after all, it's his church. He said that in Matthew 16, and we read this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But what about you?" he says. "What about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And so who's going to build the church? Who's going to build the church? Jesus, right? Jesus says, "I will build my church." And so Jesus is going to build his church. He will build his church. He's not going to build my church. He's not going to build your church the way you want it. He's going to build his church the way he wants it built. This is what Jesus is doing now. People want to know, what's Jesus doing now? You know what he's doing? He's building his church through his people. That's what he's doing. And so the question for us should be, what's he want his church to look like? Well, I think we can find that answer in Matthew chapter 28. See, Jesus gives to the disciples in Matthew 28 what we call the Great Commission. And I believe that if this is what Jesus wants from his disciples, then when his disciples come together as his body, as the church, this is what he wants from us as a church. And this is what he said. This is what we read in verse 18 of Matthew 28. It says, "And all authority," Jesus says this, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And so Jesus says in Matthew 16 that he is going to build his church. And then here he shows us how he is going to build his church. His disciples would go make disciples, and then they would all, as disciples, go out and make more disciples. See, that's the plan. That's the plan. That's the mission, to go and make disciples. That people who follow Jesus would show other people how to follow Jesus. And so in order to make disciples, you have to first what? You have to first be a disciple, right? And if you are a disciple, then the commission, the mission for you is to go out and teach others how to follow Jesus. And we see that when this happens, when the church functions in this way, that God does amazing things. We see that all over throughout Scripture. That when the church is functioning this way, God does amazing things. You know, in Acts, we see this. When the church is made up of authentic believers, not just Christian in name, but Christian in action and in deed. When God is first, not spouse, not children, not hobbies or money or anything else. When the church is living like Jesus, Jesus builds his church and he does amazing things. In Acts chapter 2, we see that. Peter preaches what's known as the first gospel message. And the people respond to that message, and they respond by repenting and believing that Jesus is indeed truly the Son of God. And based on their desire to conform their life to the life of Jesus, the church is born. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we read, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." That's the birth of the church. The early church has started. And then we see, following right after this, how the church functioned. All right, verse 42, we read this. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Who added to their number? The Lord, right? Jesus. I mean, it's his church, right? And he will build his church. And so the Lord Jesus is adding to their number daily. Why daily? How does that work? Why is he doing, why is Jesus adding to the church at this time? Why is he doing that daily? Well, I think it's because what we see in the early church is that they are in the form, they are functioning the way Jesus intended for the church to function. Where God is first, where Jesus is lifted up, where the truth of God's word is spoken and believed and lived out. It was a place where lives were being conformed to the life of Jesus. And we see clearly, we see that happening in the early church. And this is what Jesus intended for the church to be like. And he shows that by increasing the number, by adding to the number daily. And that's something I want you to see in this text, is that it's just not what the church was doing on Sunday morning. Okay? It's just not what was happening when the church got together for their official time of worship. This is who the church was 24/7. This is who they were all the time. And as a result of that, the church was irresistible. People could not help but love the church and love the people and love and give glory and praise and honor to God. Listen, the church at that time was a powerful testimony to unsaved people of that day. Not just because of the amazing things that the apostles were doing, but because of the way the church loved each other and the way they loved God. What if we lived like that today? What if the church looked like that today? Is that possible? Could we do that? Could we function like the early church? Could we live like that? And if we did, what would it look like? What impact would it have? See, I believe that God still wants to move in incredible ways through his church. I believe that Jesus is still building his church. I believe the miracles that we see happen in the book of Acts, they're still out there. But the church has to be the church, has to do what the church was intended to do. See, the church has to be what Jesus intended it to be. It has to function the way he intended it to function. And Jesus taught a lot about the church and how it should function. He talked about how his followers should function. And at the core of everything was love. I think it was no mistake that Trevor talked about love today, and we didn't even talk about what this message was going to be about. And one of the reasons that we don't really talk about with the communion guys is because God does this stuff all the time, where he just orchestrates the communion meditation and the message, and he just puts them together. And we know that's God directing the steps, and he's directing what's going to be said from the stage. And so God has done it again today. And what we see is a core thing for his followers and for the church is love. In Matthew chapter 22, we read this, says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And Jesus sums up the entire law with just two commandments. Because every single precept that's found in the Bible is an expression of these two commandments. To love God and to love your neighbor. In essence, you could take the Ten Commandments, and this is a summary of the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments are about loving God. The next six are about loving your neighbor. In fact, if you look through the Bible, you see that every command and every moral law that we find in the Old Testament can fall under the category of either love God or love your neighbor. And so it's our desire here at Linton First Christian Church that these two commands, the command to love God and the command to love your neighbor, that it would rule our thoughts and our hearts, our decisions and our actions, first individually and then collectively as the church. And so the mission statement of Linton First Christian Church simply says this: we are connecting people to God and to each other. Now this statement is the filter by which the leaders make their decisions. Is this something that is going to connect people to God? Is this something that's going to connect people to each other? And this is how we make our decisions. We filter it through this statement. See, we connect. See, we believe that if we connect, that love follows. We believe that if we can truly connect someone to God, not just a one-time connection, but an ongoing connection, that they will fall in love with him. We believe that if we can connect people together through serving, through learning, through sharing, if they will live their lives together, that they will learn how to love each other. That's what we want here. That's what we want this church body to look like and to sound like. We want it to look and sound like Jesus. To do the things that he did and to say the things that he said. But we want this to be a place where people can connect with him and can connect with each other. And I believe we're getting there. And I'm excited about where we are right now as a church family. But I don't think we've even scratched the surface of what God has planned for this church. And so I'm really excited to see what God does in the next year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years in the life of this church. I think it's going to blow all our minds. But here's the deal. We can't achieve what God has planned for us unless we all do our part in connecting people to God and to each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about how the church is put together. And in verse 12, he says this, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Now, why would he do that? Because he is building his church, right? And so he is building his church. He has placed everybody just where he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so he's building his church. And then in verse 27, it says this, Now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to look at the church and to have different opinions and different ideas about how the church should function. But when we boil it down, it's really not that difficult. The church is the body of Christ. And it should function as the body of Christ. And being the body of Christ means it should look like Jesus. And it should sound like Jesus. The church should love like Jesus. The church should pray like Jesus. And the church should reach out like Jesus reached out. The church should love God and love each other. You know, we all have different things that we bring to the body, to the church, to make that happen. And so, can the church really look like Jesus? I think it can. If we individually are willing to conform our lives to the life of Jesus. And so the question really becomes, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to conform your life to the life of Jesus Christ? See, if we live like Jesus, the church can be what Jesus intends the church to be. And I got to tell you, the church has to be the church that Jesus intended, because the church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. See, we have a message of hope, and the world needs to hear this message of hope. So, church, we need to get to it. We need to start looking like Jesus. We need to start sounding like Jesus. We need to start loving like Jesus. We need to start praying like Jesus. We need to start reaching out like Jesus. See, right now, he is building his church, and we have a part to play in that. So let's get to it. Right now, we're going to continue on in our worship. And if you would like to come and pray about something, we invite you to come and do that. Maybe for you, you need to recommit your life. Maybe you've seen some areas that in that process of conforming to be like Jesus, you're lagging behind in, and you want to shore those areas up, then we want to invite you to come and pray about that. Maybe today, for you, you would like to be a part of a church family who wants to look like Jesus. We would love to have you become a part of our family. Just come and let us know about that. Maybe for somebody here today, you need to name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the first time, and you've never done that. You certainly are invited to come and do that as well. You know, I have no doubt that God is calling and He is working on our hearts. And if you want to come and you want to do some business with God right now, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So let's stand and sing. And as we continue to worship, if you need to come, please come.